Good morning. It is good to see each of you here this morning. If you're visiting with us, you have honored us by being with us today. We know you had other places that you could worship with, but you chose to be with us, and we just pray that you'll be blessed by being with us and that you'll come back in the very next opportunity and worship God with us here at Netherland. And tonight will be your next opportunity. So our young men always do a great job in our service, and we're looking forward to that. We're monitoring as we go through. We've been very blessed so far in our assemblies. So we just ask everyone to use good judgment about how you're feeling and stuff before you come to assembly. And use your mask or any protection that you feel like is necessary while you're here. We just want to continue to be able to meet. We are going to wait until after school gets back in session, probably after Labor Day, before we make a decision about midweek Bible study. We're taking it sort of one day at a time and one week at a time. And so the ministry team, we met this week and we've talked to the elders. And so we're going to be waiting about decisions about midweek Bible study and going forward. But we are indeed grateful that we have such good attendance when we assemble together. And we know that many people are following at home, and you are encouragement to us as well. The technology we have today, we can sort of see how many people are signing on and following us here, and that is encouragement. We are having the midweek Bible study classes online, Brother Jeffers doing a series right now in the book of James, and when that wraps up, I'll begin another series after that. So I encourage you to tune in or to log on and watch it later. But we do it live every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock on Facebook. So I'd like for you to be a part of that as well. So this morning's memory verse is from Nehemiah. So this is the inspiration for today's text. And so we're going to spend some time this morning looking at this, and maybe hopefully as you leave here, you're going to find some application to it. At least that's my goal and aim this morning. But the context of this memory verse, and Jeffer talked about Ezra last week, but Ezra was part of the group to bring back the people from captivity. And Ezra is reading the law of God to the people. They built a platform, and Ezra's reading the law of God to the people so they can hear it. These are the exiles who are coming back to Jerusalem, and the law of God's being read to them. Nehemiah is the governor. That's the book is named after Nehemiah. He's the governor of the area. But when the people hear the law of God, they mourn. They're sad. Because they hear how far they are removed from what God wanted them to be. They realize when they hear the law of God read, how far we have fallen. Now, these are broken people. They experience exile. I mean, they're ripped from their homelands, many of them, even as young people. They're just realizing, hearing God's law, and then finding how far they'd fallen, and they're grieved by it. They're bothered by it when they hear this. So this morning, as we consider the text, what was being said, who was saying it, who stepped in to sort of comfort the people. And I want to sort of from this to say, okay, well, what's our application today? This was the time when they were coming back to build and coming back to re-inhabit Jerusalem. They hear the law of God. The people are grieved when they hear how far they were. And then the memory verse, if you remember, it says, so the Levites quieted all the people saying, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. And so, 3 points I want us to remember from the text this morning. The first is that the priests, the Levites, comforted the people. First thing I want you to take this morning. The Levites, the priests, comforted the people. It's okay, that's pretty obvious from the text. So what's the application to that to me today in the 21st century? How does that relate to me sitting in church on Sunday morning? So how does that make application to me? So the thing I want you to know this morning is that you're the priest. You are the priest in the priestesses, if we need to do that, in the 21st century. In fact, this is what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation. He's talking to Christians. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of Him who called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light. You this morning are a priest of the Most High God. Now that was 1/12 of the nation of Israel were dedicated to be Levites. And the Levites had individual tasks they would do, as we read in Zechariah, that he was a priest, he was a Levite priest, the father of John the Baptist, and he did his rotation through tasks and duties within the temple. And so every priest was responsible for serving a certain period of time, but in the Lord's body today, the kingdom, you are the priest, the priestess. And so we recognize from what was happening in Nehemiah and Ezra's day that the priests were reaching out to bring comfort to the people on this day. And so I will say 2020 has been difficult. Amen? It's a chaotic, troubling, difficult time. People are despondent. People are discouraged. People are scared. It's really tough. In my counseling practice, it's constantly the phones ringing. People wanting help. It's difficult. It's chaotic, difficult times. Now, as we, the children of God, move through these times, we need to be mindful that we have a role to play. It's not so different than what the priests did on the day that they heard the law of God read and the people were mourning because they realized how far they'd fallen. And I believe that we see that some of our cultural things are unraveling right now because we forgot God. The forefathers of our country had open Bibles as they went about deciding how to establish this country. And suddenly we want that to be closed and figure out we can sort of do this without that. Some of us are old enough to remember when you went to school, the day started with devotion. You actually read from the Bible in a public school and said a prayer. And I remember in my class, we sung church songs. We go tell Aunt Rhody the most depressing song you ever teach a child. You know, sing that one, go tell them the old Grey Goose is dead. That was a sad, sad song. Remember that? Where was that? I mean, how was that good? So, but then we would sing Jesus Left Me Too in the same classroom. And that changed. Changed in my lifetime. So how can we determine to be guided by any principles but our own? And I tell you what, when we leave decisions up to people, they're flawed people. And so, at the same token, God's priests do not need to be doomsday prophets. We do not need to engage in the negative rhetoric of today as if there's no hope, as if there's no solution. We don't need to be wailing and wringing our hands with non-believers. We don't need to promote or promulgate negativity. We need to be the priest of God. We need to speak the truth to people. We are not without hope. We have Jesus Christ, and the gospel is for all. When we really get understanding that the gospel not only, we talked about this a few weeks ago, the gospel not only saves us, but the gospel also can change us. We all believe the gospel has the power to save, but I don't know that someone's convicted that the gospel has the power to change. But it does. If we want it to. And so we need to be mindful of that. This morning, it seems ironic that I'm talking about this, but in the morning's Bible study class, we begin studying eschatology, the study of end times. But I preface it not that we're going to study the end times with wailing and threats and scaring people into trying to be better, but we're studying the end times in order to have hope, because Scripture is full of hope. When Jesus talked about the end times in John chapter 14, verse 3, he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and where I go to prepare a place, I'm going to come get you and bring you to where I am. So we need to understand that as priests of God, we need to be responsible to bring comfort to the people. Isaiah was told to comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. We are called to do that. We don't need to jump on the bandwagon of negativity. We don't need to jump on the bandwagon as if there's no hope. We need to be able to speak to people the words of God to say, listen, there is a God who loves you. He's never not loved you. Might not approve some of the things you're doing, but he's never not loved you. And he wants a relationship with you through his son, Jesus Christ. And we ain't perfect by a long shot, but we're trying. We got a group of people who meet right here at this place called Netherlands. We're trying to move through this life together the best we can. We'd love to have you be a part of that. We don't have all the answers, but we'll look for them together. We'll trust God's Spirit to work within us and within the body of Christ to make us more like Jesus every day. We're not without hope. Misplaced hope can get you in trouble, but the hope based upon Jesus Christ abides forever. So this is the point I want you this morning to leave here with, is that you have a job as the priest of God to comfort others. It's one of the roles of priests. It wasn't just about sacrifice. It wasn't just about all the things, the tasks they had. They were to represent God to the people and the people to God. And so they did this. Now, part of that, you've got to be mindful of that as you move through life, people have got to look at you as priest material. How you live your life, how you conduct your life, what you do, what you don't do, what you say, what you don't say. They got to perceive that there's some wisdom from above in you before you can be relevant to speak to their life. It's not told in Scripture, other than the fact we know that the high priest went once a year into the most holy of holies to make petition before the people, before God for the people. It's not told in Scripture this way, but in the Jewish tradition it's said this way, that the high priest once a year would go before the God in the holy of holies in the temple. And he did ceremony. They washed him. They sprinkled blood on him. And what was interesting is that embedded in his garment were like jingle bells. Jingle, 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 jingle. Every time the priest moved, he jingled. Okay? And so that was sort of sewn into his garment. Okay? And once a year, he would go behind the veil into the most holiest place on this earth at that point in time that you could go, in the Holy of Holies. But before they let him go in, they tied a cord around his ankle. Okay? Because no one could go in and fetch him if something happened. You know? And so as long as he went to the Holy of Holies before the Ark of God and made prayer and hear jingle, 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 that was a good sign. Okay? And so he would eventually come out and thing was good. But if you hear jingle, jingle, thump, wasn't good a sign. Okay? He went before God in an unholy manner and he died. That was what their fear was. And no one could go retrieve his body, so they had the rope to pull him out by his ankle, just in case. So we need to be able to be holy before God as individuals so we can speak into the lives of other people and bring them comfort. So point one, comfort people. Point two, from the text, remember it says, be still, for the day is holy. Sometimes we need to be still to experience God the fullest. Now, for many of us, we've experienced 2020 as being a period of time in which we've been forced to be still. Because we can't do this, we can't do that. You know, how many people have spent more time at home than they have in years? Most of us? Yeah. Yeah. Some of us says, you know, hey, this is a pretty nice place to live. You know, and some of us feel like the walls are closing in, right? Gotta get out of here! But sometimes we need to be still before God. Sometimes God lays us on our backs so we have to look up, right? So sometimes we have this experience, but they told him, just don't panic. You know, it was good that they removed them and they realized that they heard the law of God and realized how far they were from the law. It was okay that they realized that, but he says, don't panic, be still. Psalms 46, verse 10 talks about being stilled. Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. If we run about as if we're losing our head, how in the world can we speak comfort into people's lives? Now, as I describe this story, some of you are going to relate to you. Some of this is going to be gross. Okay, but when I was very young, my grandparents lived right next door to us. My grandfather always raised white Leghorn chickens. I never understood it, but that was his breed of choice, and white Leghorn chickens. Well, when you raised back then, you just got a big bunch, you know, and you're hatched out a bunch like that. Well, you wind up with more roosters than you needed. Okay, so I remember as a child, we had a chicken killing. Okay. And so my older brother's jobs were to chop the heads off. You know, Granny had a big wash pot in the backyard. Some of you can smell the feathers right now, can't you? Yeah. Granny had a big wash pot in the backyard, and my job was the fun job, I thought. They'd cut the heads off of them, and those chickens would flap around like crazy without a head on. My job was, once they quit flapping, to go get them and take them to the kettle. And they would begin scalding them and pulling those feathers out. Guess what we had for supper that night? Fried chicken. They put them in the freezer too, so we had plenty of chicken for a while. Have you ever seen it? It's just chaotic and it's ugly. But some of us move through life that way. We buy into the negative. We buy into what the world's saying and not what God is saying. We're not stilled. We're flapping frantically through life. And if we are the priest of God and to speak comfort to other people, we have to be stilled ourselves. And we have to, you know, realize that sometimes the noise of life drowns out the whispers of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not going to slap you down and make you act silly. The Holy Spirit's going to move quietly in your life to direct you into the image of Jesus Christ. Evidenced by the fruit that it produces, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, which they don't have laws against just yet, Paul says. It's going to move you in that direction. And in the stillness, very often, we can find the holiest that each day possesses. Every day can be made holy. Every moment that you will yourself to pray, every moment you will yourself to meditate on God, every moment you decide to spend in Scripture, every moment you decide to spend in His praise, you have to claim that moment holy, because you can't do two things very often at the same time very well. Try it. Pat your head, rub your tummy, and tap your foot. And try to chew gum at the same time. You don't do it well, do you? So every time I do something moving myself toward God, it's a holy moment. And I can make every day holy, not just Sundays. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I can declare holiness in each day. And sometimes that's by saying still. Some of you talk to God before everyone else gets up in the morning. And that's a holy moment. Some of you talk to God while you're on the tractor or mowing the yard. Some of you talk to God the very first thing you wake up in the morning. Thank God I woke up. Like that dear brother we heard over in Free Hills, he says, Lord, I thank you I woke up amongst the living, in the land of the living. And so there's a capacity to have holiness in each and every day in our life. We determine how much of it's going to be. But he says, be still. because this day is holy. And so we need to be mindful of that. And the ideal of hearing God in the whisper, I guess I get it from 2 Kings chapter 19. Remember Elijah? And he says, go out and stand before the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains, and it broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, but after a wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire was a still, small voice. Sometimes God shows up in the stillness, not in the chaos. And so we determine as priests of God to move out, move through life in a very special way. In the Old Testament, the old law required 1/7, one whole day of the week, to be spent on slowing down, allowing the space and time for God. You couldn't work. You couldn't do all these different things you were told not to do. Remember the guy who picked up sticks? Fell over dead. I mean, it was really pretty neat. Several years ago, our old oven, it just kicked the bucket. And then we got a new oven. It's one of those programmable things, and you can do all these different things to it, and the microwave's built into it. And forever, I can't remember how to set certain things on it and stuff. But the other day, I was going through it, you know, and I was going through it, and I was going through it, and I got on this little electronic screen, and it said Sabbath setting. My oven has a Sabbath setting, which basically means if you set it on the Sabbath setting, it won't come on the Sabbath. It won't come on from dark Friday to dark Saturday. It won't work then. And I thought, wow, you know, it's programmed better than I am. But the ideal of slowing down and allowing space and time for God. Sometimes we struggle to give God an hour. We do. You know, once a week, worship. Could you imagine if, and I'm not saying that we have to keep Sabbath laws, but what would it mean to do it? What would it mean to just slow down and declare things holy before God? So I guess the second point is, let us be intentional in finding space and time on being stilled and finding holiness. Finding space and time on being stilled and finding holiness. Several years ago, I did a series of lessons on spiritual disciplines and spiritual pathways. And we discovered that here at church, we had a lot of people when we did the survey that they really orient and relate to God most in nature. You know? And they just sort of experience God most outside. And I remember after studying the lesson that Adam and Dusty decided they were going to have a Bible study class on Sunday mornings outside. You know, so they had several people on Sunday mornings when everyone else was in here. They were outside and they had their Bible study outside. And then I remembered that they said, hey, we want to have a whole church Bible study. Invite anyone who wants to come. But we're going to do it at sunrise. I don't know how that's going to go over. But I said, yeah, sounds good. Yeah, and they did. And there were 40 people showed up at sunrise on Sunday morning to study the Bible. It was amazing. You know, it's just sort of moving beyond what we know sometimes do to be mindful of how we can just make any moment holy and still ourselves enough to find holiness in the day. So the passage again, so the Levites quieted all the people saying, be still, for the day is holy, do not be grieved. Third point, as priests intentionally stilled and seeking holiness, so that's the first two points, as priests, which you are, intentionally stilled and seeking holiness, which I hope you aspire to be, we need to speak the peace of God, the gospel, into the lives of the people. The people were broken that day because they heard how far away they were from the law of God. They were broken. Maybe it was acknowledging sin. Maybe it was acknowledging guilt. Maybe it was just acknowledging, man, we got what we deserved in the exile, didn't we? As I'm preaching that there's something I remember about some people believe the exile was a consequence not just of their failure to live faithfully before God, but also a part of their failure to observe part of the law of God, in which every 7 years they were supposed to have a year in which they just sort of set back. Every 7 years they weren't supposed to plant fields, they were supposed to let things go fallow, they were supposed to forgive debts, they were supposed to sort of start the clean slate every 7 years. And it's been noted by scholars that there was no biblical record of that for 490 years, from the time it was given for 490 years. There's no biblical record of a Sabbath year. And so God made them take it all at one time. The 7 years of exile. 7 times 7 is 490. So you get 7 years and 70 years of exile. It's as serious sometimes God is about us being stilled and following Him. So, but we're to speak peace in people's lives. Paul specifically tells Philemon, this person, the whole book's named after, that he is making a difference in the lives of other believers. In fact, he says it this way: "For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother." He speaks to Philemon, a fellow priest, fellow believer, brother in Christ, and says, "Listen, man, you just make us happy because we hear that you make other people refreshed." Ask yourself the question: do I refresh the hearts of others, or do I discourage the hearts of others? Do I refresh the hearts of other people, or discourage the hearts of other people? Now, I'll be real honest. A lot of the junk that's out there in the world today does not do much to build up people. It does not refresh people. We made a decision that we seldom watch the news anymore at home. Tammy and I sort of collectively made the decision we seldom watch it. We may catch the weather, but we just don't turn it on. You know, because they're really dishonest from their very beginning. They say good evening and then tell you a reason it's not. So we just don't. We choose not to. So we're mindful of there's people in this life who just refresh us, who just build us up. Are you that person in people's lives? Are you the person in people's lives? Thank goodness, I'm just so happy to see you. What's the good word? Because they know you're going to deliver one. Are you going to be that person who's like, let me tell you what's wrong with the world today? Have you heard? And just promulgating and promoting not the gospel. Not the gospel. But the world's rhetoric. We need to be mindful of that. And so we ask ourselves, do I refresh the hearts of others or discourage the hearts of others? And as priests of God, intentionally being instilled and seeking holiness, I think we need to say, part of my job is to build people up. And I hear people say, and he says, you know, people say, but Mark, you got to speak the truth with love. And so I went to this passage and I spent some time looking at it, and I try to see what, yeah, we do. Ephesians chapter 4, 14 through 16 says that we should be no longer children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness and deceitfulness plotting, but speaking truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head of Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint, supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Again, that peace of the Holy Spirit we talked about earlier today causes growth in the body for the edifying of itself in love. So let me ask you this: what did he mean by this phrase, "the truth in love"? Because I've heard some people say, well, you got to speak the truth in love and just turn around and just lambast somebody. Tear them down. I'm just saying this because I love you, and just everything how you're wrong. or how flawed you are. Now, I think we've taken that text out of context. People don't always need us to do their inventory and tell us how flawed, for us to tell them how flawed we are. The truth and love that Paul speaks about is pointing people towards Jesus. To redirect them from false teaching back toward Jesus, not for us to necessarily tear them apart because they need to hear the truth. And I've heard some people sort of stretch some things, and I've heard this justification. It's not gossip if it's true. It's gossip. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. It's gossip. And so we understand that what Paul's talking about is things that edify, in which we get everything working together. Now, I've reached the age in the mornings that I don't work. My body doesn't work like it used to. I don't jump out of bed anymore. I roll out of bed. Anyone else have an amen? You know, and hope my feet are going to work. That's my experience. And so, but what I have to do is get up and move around. And sometimes after moving around, this morning I got up and had to go check on Ray sent some squash and I took out to feed the pigs and stuff like that and check the fence because the pigs got out yesterday and I had to go check the fence, make sure the pigs were still in. And I thought, I don't know if I could do this or not. But the more I moved, the better I worked. Anyone else have experience? Yeah. So sometimes we have to be mindful of moving through life is not to focus in on other people's flawed nature, but to build them up and point them toward Jesus. Again, the memory verse. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, "Be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved." Let's say that together. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, "Be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved." What I want you to leave here this morning with this intention that you will endeavor to become an intentionally stilled, holiness-seeking priest of God, intent on comforting others. That you will endeavor to become an intentionally stilled, holiness-seeking priest of God, intent on comforting others. And I'm just going to tell you right now, if you take this as your charge and you begin moving through life, you will discover something very important. Is that people need this. Today more than ever, maybe, for some people. They need this. It is really easy for us to get overwhelmed today. Really easy. And we're the people of God. And so, who knows? I'm not going to give. Jeffrey's got Esther next week, so I'm not going to say everything that Esther, that the memory verse for next week. But, you know, maybe you're here for that purpose. So, I guess to end it, If you'll just read this statement with me as a reminder, and then we'll end the lesson, and Anna will lead us in an invitation song. We can assist you. We'd love to. So let's just say this together. I will endeavor to become an intentionally stilled, holiness-seeking priest of God, intent on comforting others. And